That word bring up there is 1625 in the Strong's. It means to rear to maturity. That is, or in effect, to cherish or train. So in training children, we are speaking of much more than meets the eye. We train by example and we train by discipline. It is necessary to train children, and there are some things why it's necessary to train children. Children are sinners. We just talked about that, Psalms 51 and 5. We were all sinners. Some of us are still sinning. Children are ignorant and must be instructed. There's that blank piece of paper. Something's going to get written on that blank piece of paper. Who's responsible? Children are imitators. The lifestyle, and look, I've got habits. You might ought to circle that one. The lifestyle and habits of parents will be transmitted to their children. Is that true? Yes. That is a big one, particularly habits. If the father drinks beer, what's the son most likely to do? The father smokes, what's the son? You see what I'm saying? Habits. Children are vulnerable. Train them to beware of dangers. That's self-explanatory. Children will transmit our faith of Jesus Christ if they're trained right. Won't they? Church is important. Water baptism is important. Holy Ghost baptism is important. All of those things are important. But can they go on if there is not parenthood? Can they go on if we are not training our children? How do we train children? All right, I'm just about done. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. Verse 5 through 7. This is where we started this whole series that weeks ago. Verse 1, let's get verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. The first thing that I want to point out there in verse 5 is parents themselves must have a demonstrated love for God in every area of their life. Now, that's exactly what that says. Look at it. You must love the Lord thy God with all of your heart. Right? That speaks of the Spirit. You must love the Lord thy God with all of the heart. Then secondly, it says you must love Him with all of the soul. What's that talking about? Your mind, your emotions, your intellect, your will, your attitudes. What's the third one? All your might, that speaks of your body. David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Do your children see that? First of all, the parent is required here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 to have God in them in all of their heart, God in them in all of their soul, God in them in all of their might. That's the first requirement. That's the way we show and teach our children and train them. Then in verse 6 it says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Whose heart? Whose heart? Your heart. Parents' heart. If the words of God are not in the parents' heart, how in the world are you going to get them in the child? The word of God must be in the parent's heart. These words or principles must be in the heart of every parent. A father and a mother needs to know God's word personally and be able to share it with their children. Now, is that what's happening today in the Christian world? Is it? No. They don't pick the Bible up from the time Sunday morning till a lot of them don't even bring the Bible on Sunday. You tell me how in the world they're going to raise Christian children. Then verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Look for every opportunity to talk to your child about God. Every opportunity that avails itself. When it talks about sitting in the house, it's talking about family times and relaxation times and times together. And then it talks about walking by the way, times of traveling. The age that we live in, there's much travel. We're always going someplace. Are we talking about God? It says when you lie down at bedtime, and then it says when you rise up in the morning time. Every opportunity that we get, we need to be talking about God, and we don't do it. It is the responsibility of the parent to constantly give positive scriptural input into the minds and hearts of their children. Look for opportunities to teach God's word and principles. I want to get a couple of words here. Roger put me a brand new tape in, so. No, that's why I said, you got the one in there, so I can just stay here for another hour and a half. So. In Deuteronomy 6, I want to get a couple of words. I want to bring these back up into your remembrance. Remember that lamb principle? You got a lot of bellies, and I want to get some of this back up again. Let you chew on it some more. And in verse 7, that word, thou shalt teach them. And that word is 8150 in the Strong's, and the Hebrew word means to point, to pierce, to inculcate. And Funken-Wagnall says that means to impress upon the mind by frequent and emphatic repetition. And then the synonym is impress. And the Greek word over there in Revelation chapter 13 for the mark of the beast means a stamp or an impression. And when you teach this word to your child, you are marking them. You are impressing them. You're putting something in the mind. And remember that over there in Revelation in chapter 13, that word in. In other words, it says, does it say in the forehead or on the forehead? It says in the forehead. And it really means the location. Now you're amplified in your NIV say on. But if you look the word up, it means the location. The location is right here. What's being taught? Teach. Right here. What's being put in there by emphatic repetition? The Word of God or television or what? And then one other word. Look in verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign. That's number 226 in the Strong's. And it means a signal as a flag, a beacon, a monument, a prodigy. Webster says it means a spectacle. It's evidence. Synonyms are mark, miracle, sign, token. And it's used in Genesis 4:15 for the mark that was put on Cain. What are we marking our children with? What sign are they wearing? We're supposed to teach them. We're supposed to put a sign on them. And I am sure that's the mark that they're going to be wearing at the day of judgment. Go to 2 Corinthians. And I've been talking a lot about that piece of paper that's marked, that blank piece of paper that is likened to your child's mind. I want to tie it up with a scripture over here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and look at verse 2. And it says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. We are letters written. Something's written on us. You are letters written, and where that's written at is upon your heart. The child's mind is the blank piece of paper. And us as parents are responsible for what gets written, scratched, embedded, marked, etched on that child's mind. We're accountable. And at the great judgment seat of Christ, are we going to be able to say, well, I didn't know? Are we? No. We know. The predominant way to train your child is by your lifestyle, parent. We can only train your child to be what we already are. In other words, kind produces kind. We must examine our lifestyle and see if we are showing our children proper models of the Christian life. And I've got you some scriptures there, and what they say is, be ye followers of me, even as I am follower of Christ, the Apostle Paul said. On page 28, I've got you a checklist. Here are some primary areas in which proper training is essential for success in life. You need to look through these and really look at yourself, evaluate you as a parent. Under values, it says, is the way I'm handling my money teaching my children biblical values? Is the way I'm using my time training my children to put God first? Under attitudes, is my attitude toward authority teaching my children to respond wholeheartedly to God's delegated authority? Does my outlook on life inspire positive attitudes in my children? Do I demonstrate the kind of love that teaches my children to love as God loves? Does my attitudes of meekness teach my children to yield their rights to God? Under right words, does my daily language consistently teach my children to communicate in an edifying manner? Do my words and commendation encourage and motivate my children to more good works? Behavior and godly habits. Does my behavior teach my children something different than my words? That's a good one. I hear a lot of them that talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. It's like Brother Temple says, your life speaks so loud, I can't hear your words. Does my behavior teach my children something different than my words? Are my children learning self-control by my balanced lifestyle? Under friends, does my circle of friends teach my children how to choose and develop proper friendships? Am I reaching out to others and thereby teaching my children to enlarge their circle of friends? Under wisdom, am I teaching my children wisdom and good judgment by making daily decisions based on the principles of God? Does my response to my failures teach my children how to learn from their own? Do I relate God's word to experiences and circumstances and daily situations in my life and in my home? Under physical health, does my physical condition motivate my children to keep themselves in good health? Those were seven areas or seven questions that we really need to look at ourselves as parents. Now, it is vital that parents examine each of these areas in their own personal lives and evaluate whether or not their lifestyle would be desirable, look, to be passed on to their children. Do you have a kind of life that you really want to pass on to your children? Are there areas of your life that you hope to God your child does not inherit? That's what I'm wanting you to look at. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. What's in your heart that your child can inherit? What are you projecting and giving them in your daily lifestyle as your daily example? Parenthood. That's what we're talking about. Would you stand?